love these men and what God is doing in them. And we, if you have a child, a grandchild who is struggling, when we hear these wonderful testimonies, it gives us hope that God is still doing great things. I'm going to invite Matt to come and bring his entourage and do what he's going to do. Let's hear it for Matt.
Thank you. I left my entourage sitting for now, but they'll be up here in a little bit. So my name is Matt, and I am the current outreach intern for the Willamette Valley Men's Center, which is located in Shedd. Does anybody know where Shedd is? Oh, my gosh. Usually nobody does, and I have to explain that it's a town with 254 people and 2,500 sheep. And our men's center makes up about 20% of the population. But you guys are very familiar, so now I don't have to say any of that. So that's good. And so you guys are familiar with Teen Challenge and what we do, right? So for those of you who aren't, we are a 12-month inpatient faith-based drug and alcohol rehabilitation program. Although I don't typically like to call it a program, but that seems to be the word that most people understand. Really what we are, we're a discipleship training center. And what we do is we take men who haven't made the best choices in life and have some life-controlling issues, and we help them work through those issues and become men of God to go out and spread the gospel in His glory. And Teen Challenge was founded in 1958 by a pastor by the name of David Wilkerson. He wrote a great book, The Cross and the Switchblade. We have abridged versions at the outreach table, and you're more than welcome to have one. Pat Boone actually played him in the movie The Cross and the Switchblade. And his story, David Wilkerson's story, is really a story about obedience to the Lord and faithfulness, and not just our faithfulness to the calling that God's given us, but the faithfulness of God to us and the promises that He makes to us and the commitments that He makes to us. Through David Wilkerson, God has been able to touch millions of people. We have 11 centers in the Pacific Northwest, from Alaska all the way to Montana, and then obviously here in Oregon. And worldwide, we have over 500 centers. In fact, so our center has a sister center in Uganda, and we are planning a mission trip later in the year to go over there, because they have plans to build what they call Hope Village, which is a self-sustaining village in Africa that will have a farm and the ability to grow food, fish ponds, a school, a mental health hospital, a treatment center for addiction, and just really a place where they can go and not only work the Teen Challenge program, but also have a safe place to live in Uganda. So that being said, I am now going to have a video play that has nothing to do with Uganda. But what it will do is it will tell you a little bit about what we in Teen Challenge are doing over the next year. This is a video that we show at our fundraising banquets and that sort of thing. But it goes along with some of the information that we have on the outreach table. So we'll go ahead and play that, and then I will come back up in about 3 minutes.
If addiction was a country, it would be the fourth largest nation on earth. 270 million people are currently in bondage to some form of addiction. The devastating effects are destroying countless lives and families.
The Hope Northwest Family of Ministries answers the needs of our communities with the hope of freedom found in Jesus Christ. We have a vision to put hope within reach of every addict in the Northwest. Pacific Northwest Adult and Teen Challenge began providing recovery services in 1983 and now serves Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, and Alaska. When students enroll in our residential program, they put their life on hold, take a detour from their old way of living, and invest a year into learning what it means to have hope and freedom.
You know, I look forward to the future. I have hope for the first time.
Studied the Bible. I learned what grace was. I rebuilt a relationship with my family, and it really opened the door to restoration and getting my children back.
TC Resale and Donation Thrift Stores provide an environment for Adult and Teen Challenge students to learn valuable skills and contribute towards their own recovery. Our stores provide roughly half of the funding that sustains our programs, and they offer quality used clothing, furniture, and household goods in a friendly environment.
I know how important this thrift store is for the ministry and for the program, for these young men and for those young women involved in the program. But this is overall the best job I've ever had the privilege of working, because it's not a job to me.
Our staff and students deliver hope beyond the walls of our residential programs by partnering with schools, jails, churches, and organizations that bring a message of hope to those living in the margins. Life Renewal offers outpatient treatment by certified alcohol and drug counselors to offer fresh perspective to address the underlying causes of life-controlling issues.
We can sort of take back the power from those things that have maybe held us up in the past, that we haven't been comfortable talking about and maybe haven't explored a whole lot of, in order to just learn and grow from that.
We also partner with Teen Challenge Ministries across the globe by sending teams to serve and train, as well as raise money through our thrift store donation jars. We need your help to put hope within reach. You can be a part of the solution by donating your time, talent, and resources, and participating in our events. If you know someone who needs hope and freedom, please give us a call. Together, we can put hope within reach.
All right. So there's one guy in there. I don't know if you notice him. He looks a lot like me. Imagine my surprise the first time I saw that video. I was like, oh, wow. So you can see that through that video, it's not just about hanging out at the treatment center and sitting around and, talking about our feelings, although we do quite a bit of that. But we really go out and we are a part of the community. And one of the ways that we do that is not only through coming to churches and being able to speak to a church body, but we also go out to schools. And at the school, we do something called Stay Sharp. And that is our opportunity to be able to go out and share a little bit about our experience and some of the choices that we've made in order to help kids not make the same choices that we did. One of the unfortunate things about that, though, is that when we go out into a school, we don't get the opportunity to talk about God. However, this is God's house, and so we can do that here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have three gentlemen come up. So I'm going to have Jerry, Matt, and Michael come up, and we're going to do a panel interview and show you a little bit about what we do at the schools.
I guess I get to go first.
You get to go first, yeah. So what we'll do is I'll have the three of you introduce yourselves. So let's do names, drug of choice, and how long you've been in the program.
My name is Gerald. My drug of choice was alcohol, and I've been in the program a little over 6 months.
My name is Mike. My drug of choice is a little bit of everything, but what brought me here was meth and heroin. Oh, and I've been here for 5 months.
I'm Matthew, and my drug of choice was methamphetamines. And I've been in the program for a little over 7 months.
And again, my name is Matt, and I actually finished the program in February. And as an intern, I have another year that I'll be doing, and I will have the opportunity to lead the outreach team and to just help these guys and kind of hopefully be a mentor and example to them and be able to help them kind of finish the rest of their term. My drug of choice was opiates, so pretty much anything that fell into that category, so prescription painkillers, heroin, pretty much anything that I could get my hands on as far as that goes. That was my drug of choice. All right, so Jerry, if you wouldn't mind, why don't you take a moment and tell us what it was like growing up in your family?
Growing up in my family, it was a really rough life. At the age of 6 months, I was taken from my mom, and so I had serious abandonment issues growing up. At the age of 3, my dad took me out of that, but pretty much I had serious love issues. I didn't feel wanted, didn't feel loved, didn't feel welcome anywhere.
Growing up in my family, I grew up with my mom and 5 sisters, and I had a dad, and he left when I was really young, so I struggled to grow into the man I am now. So it was kind of tough to identify with early childhood and what that looked like for me, just struggling without a father figure. But, yeah, things got better since coming here.
Growing up in when I was a kid, it was a good home. You know, we went to church all the time, every Sunday, as a matter of fact. Well, my dad, I never really did get to know my real father. He was addicted to meth and stuff really bad too, as well. Didn't really spend much time with us. Didn't teach me the positive things in life, you know. Not a very good person. But my actual dad, my stepdad, who I consider my actual father, went to church every Sunday. And, yeah.
So my family was your typical middle-class family, very average. My parents divorced when I was young. I was 2, so I don't even remember them ever being together. But I was fortunate in that my parents loved me enough to send me to private school, and I was in Boy Scouts, played sports quite a bit. In fact, growing up, I think my entire time in high school, I drank 3 beers. And not all at once, because I like to spread it out a little bit. So my childhood was very normal. When I would come home, I was a latchkey kid, so there was no parent there when I came home. But I fortunately chose to watch, you know, DuckTales, and I did my homework. And really the point of this, when we go out to the school, is just to show that all 4 of us come from very different backgrounds. And addiction doesn't care where you came from or what your family is like or your social economic background. The Bible tells us that the enemy comes like a thief in the night to steal, kill, and destroy. And addiction is the same. It doesn't matter what kind of a house you grew up in. There's no cookie cutter formula that says if you go through this series of experiences, you will become an addict. Because as you can see from the 4 of us, loving parents or no parents, it didn't matter. We all ended up in the same place. So tell us, Jerry, what your gateway was into using.
Basically, I was born into it. My father was a drug and alcoholic, and I mean, all he did was party and stuff like that.
My gateway, like, was, I could say, like, typically, like, marijuana, alcohol, but it was really just a struggle to fit in with my peers.
My gateway was, I was homeless. I ran away a lot from home when I was 13 years old, so I turned to meth and stuff because, you know, you're 13 years old, you really can't cook for yourself, you can't provide food for yourself, you know, so... meth doesn't make you hungry, you know, so I did a lot of meth and started out smoking weed and stuff like that.
So my gateway actually came from a doctor. When I was in the Air Force, I had a very minor procedure done on one of my legs, and the doctor prescribed me a Percocet and said, here, take these, and when you're done, I will give you more. And when you're in the military, you do what you're told. And if an officer tells you that they want all the rocks in the parking lot painted yellow, then you go out and you do that. And then the next day, if they change their mind and decide that they want it white, then you go out and you do that thing and you paint them white. I wasn't in a lot of pain, but the officer told me to take the pills, so I took those pills. And then he gave me a refill, and I took all of those. And it was unlike any other experience that I had ever had before. And 10 years later is when it really became an issue. But that was my gateway. That was sort of the door that opened that showed me that there was a thing in the world that could make me feel like I was a better person, that I could do anything better while I had these pills. All of my fear and all of my anxiety and all of my insecurity went away when I, you know, was taking these pills, and it was replaced by a lie. And the one thing out there that can make you feel all of that is God and the relationship that you have with the Lord. Not a pill or not a powder or something that grows out of the ground. That relationship is what gives you that security, which was unfortunately something that I did not figure out until much later on in life. All right, so Jerry, please take some time on this one and tell us what your fully addicted life looked like.
Oh, it was ugly. I was pretty much a functional addict, but yet I was still, every time I would get into a relationship with anybody, male or female, I would have, friends, and I would start caring about them, or I'd start loving them and stuff, and I would push them away because I didn't think I was worthy of that love or to be loved or anything like that.
Functional addict sounds nice. However, I was not a functional addict. My life was total chaos. It was just, I was running around, strung out, hit the streets, and just, I'd rip off people just to support my habit. I'd rip off family. I'd isolate away from them for months at a time. I would, literally just do whatever my selfish self wanted to do. And, it took me going to jail one or two or three or four, quite a few times, to figure out, that I need to surrender to God and to finally come to terms with my addiction. And that is what my fully addicted life looked like.
Okay. My fully addicted life started out, like I said, when I was in 13 years old, junior high, doing meth. Didn't really have really much guidance. I guess that could be probably a lie, but my dad and my mom wanted the best for me, just didn't know how to provide help, the help that I needed. I'm so nervous. I get so nervous talking in front of people like this, but So, every bad thing you can think of, it happened, Like, I was just an evil little booger, I hurt people so bad who loved me, There's nothing good that comes from an addiction of any sort, except for, being addicted to the love of Jesus Christ is the only positive addiction that I can find so far. So, after doing, 2.5 years or so before I was even 18 years old because of crime and addiction, my parents didn't really want me, so I pretty much lived in jail, because they didn't know what to do or how to deal with my anger issues, and my addiction and stuff like that. So anyway, 17, 18 years old, I don't know how I made it through high school. Got through high school by the grace of God. I got married. I had a kid, addicted still to drugs and alcohol. Lost all that. Lost my son. Lost my wife. Overall, I've done about 7 years in prison because of my addiction and because of all the stuff that I've done in my life. It's terrible. I guess I don't know if you guys can get that picture, but nothing good has come from my addiction. So, yeah.
My fully addicted life started in the morning. when I would wake up and I would already be sick from the withdrawals. So my sole mission for that day was to find enough money to go out and buy some drugs so that I could get well. And otherwise I would spend the next week to 10 days going through what would feel like the flu mixed with food poisoning and insomnia and cramps and a little bit of wanting to die. And that's what withdrawal was like. So I would do anything I possibly could to make that go away. And that would mean that I would lie and I would steal and I would cheat. And I would come to your house and I would go through your medicine cabinet and I would take whatever pills I could find and then I would help you look for them. Or I would go to work and I would walk off with the weekend's deposit because why not? And that's what my life was like. And all of that brought me to the point to where my kids didn't want to see me, and I had gone through two marriages, several careers. I was about to be evicted. My car was going to be repoed. I had 86 cents in my bank account, and I could only think of one way to fix all of this, and that was for me to no longer be alive. And fortunately, I had somebody who loved me enough to make sure that that didn't happen. So here I am, thankfully. Now, Jerry, tell us how your life has improved since you've been in the program.
Well, since I've been in the program, the main thing that God has shown me is that I am worthy of love, and that the only person that matters is Him loving me. He's taught me that the healing power of forgiveness, because I've had to forgive people of things in my past. He's really shown me a lot, actually. He's shown me that I can care for somebody, and just because they don't care for me doesn't mean nothing. As long as I have Him, and that's all that matters.
When I first got into the program, a brother told me, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and rescues those who are crushed in spirit." When I got to that place, that's exactly where I was. I was crushed in spirit. I was brokenhearted. And the Lord has given me, like I said, I grew up with all women in my family. So it's given me brothers to lift me up, men to model myself after, and just so many great things, reconciled relationships with both my mom and my dad separately. And, yeah, it's been a blessing ever since showing up into the Adult and Teen Challenge program.
Okay, can you tell me that question one more time?
How has your life improved since coming into the program?
Since coming to the program, let me tell you another little story here. About 10 months ago, I was looking at 10 years in prison for an assault two, and that's a Measure 11 charge. That's a mandatory 70 months for you guys who don't know. The president can't overturn that. And I just want you guys to know how powerful our God is, that there's nothing He can't do according to His will. So here I am today, not in a den of lions, talking to you, because God's plans for me are much greater than to be sitting in there. So another thing too that stuck out to me, when I was in jail, I hit my knees and I meant it and I believed it, that God would save me from this, you know, and I made Him a promise that I would follow Him and bring as many people to the Lord as I can. You know, it's not for me to save, but God is to save, you know, but I'm just want to plant the seed anyway. So, there's one here. I'll read this one first. It's Philippians 3:13. Brothers, I do not count myself to have, and I believe this is Paul talking, you know, so like, okay. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen to that. And I got another one here. It's in Matthew somewhere. It talks about after Jesus came back, he was resurrected like he said he was going to do. He said he was going to go to the Father, or to the Father's house, and he was going to prepare, you know, a place for me. And I was thinking, I was like, oh great, God, oh man, there's a lot of rooms in prison, and there's many mansions in prison, you know, and I said, okay, God, if you want me to go there, there's a reason for that, you know, and I'll go. I was wrong. I'm here. So God has a plan for me, and I love Jesus. So, yeah.
So the biggest thing that the Lord has done for me is given me opportunity. Like I said earlier, I have the opportunity to lead these guys and the outreach team. Usually I've got, boy, I don't know, I've usually got 10 or 12 guys with me, but some of them are on pass, so they're not here today. But I get to lead the outreach team. I have the opportunity to be a father to my children. In fact, last night I was able to take my 10-year-old daughter to a daddy-daughter dance that our church that we attend in Albany put on. So that was a blast. I have pictures. I'll show it to you later if you want, because I'm very proud. She's very pretty. But I have the opportunity to grow in the Lord and to be the man that I always wanted to be, and to be the father that I always wanted to be, and to be the leader that I always wanted to be. And that is the best thing that the Lord has given me over the last year. So thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. And we have a video that we're going to show about student sponsorship, which is near and dear to my heart. And that will show you how you guys can be a part of our lives.
Pacific Northwest Adult and Teen Challenge is a faith-based drug and alcohol recovery program with the power to change lives.
When I was a teenager, I was rebellious and started using drugs experimentally, which ultimately led to a 13-year addiction to opiates. After countless tries to quit on my own and get my life back, I decided to enroll myself into Adult and Teen Challenge in Portland. I've learned that God forgives us no matter what. He has amazing grace, and ultimately He forgives you for everything. I now have high hopes for my future, I have my life back, and a great career opportunity ahead of me.
Graduating from Adult and Teen Challenge is not an easy accomplishment. This is a life-changing discipleship program. Our students are faced with spiritual battles on a daily basis, and every encouragement makes a difference. We want to invite you to be a part of their success. We want to invite you to become a student sponsor. When you sponsor a student at Adult and Teen Challenge, you're partnering with an individual who is becoming a new creation. When you sign up, we will assign you to one of our students and send you a photo and profile of the student that you will be sponsoring. Every few months, you will receive an update about your student's progress so you can continue to pray for them and see that beyond your financial support, you are helping to change their life. You'll have opportunities to meet and encourage your student at Adult and Teen Challenge events. And when your student completes the program, you will receive a personal invitation to attend and celebrate at their completion ceremony. Most of all, we urge you to write and encourage your student. Your letters will remind them that someone cares and that their community supports them. Your prayers will help move the mountains in their path and help them stay focused on their journey towards freedom. Many students say that the letters and notes they received gave them hope and encouragement at just the right time.
The first time I received a card from my sponsor was on a day that I was ready to give up and quit the program. Reading that card gave me the encouragement I needed to stay in the program and keep going. Knowing that people were out there praying for me besides just my family gave me the encouragement to press on.
The cost to provide housing, counseling, and other recovery services to a student in our program is over $2,500 each month. Most students could never afford to pay that out of pocket. So our ministry is supported by gifts from friends and family, our vocational training programs, and the generous support of donors like you. For $35 per month, You can sponsor a student, and your entire gift will help provide recovery services to your student. By committing just $35 a month, you can help to change the life and future of a Teen Challenge student. To become a student sponsor, simply fill out a sign-up form or give us a call to start supporting a student at your local Adult and Teen Challenge campus today.
So, like I said, I was a sponsored student, and you know, I've done a lot of things in my life. I'm an Eagle Scout. I did 4 years in the Air Force. I've had 3 kids. I've trained salespeople. I've made 6-figure salaries. But this year was the hardest thing that I've ever had to do. And it was a year that I got to spend looking at myself, and I got to take a year to be selfish and just make it all about me and learn about myself and look at my own issues and how to grow and overcome those. And we face challenges as students. You know, typically we have a 40-bed facility, and we stick 40 guys into 2 rooms. So if you can imagine what that sounds and smells like, it's a toughie. So, you know, as a 40-year-old man, I didn't think that I was going to be sleeping in bunk beds for a year, but that's what I did. And our beds at the time were donated by a college, and, you know, they're 15 years old. And we were fortunate enough to be able to do some fundraising and to remodel 2 of the dorms that we have. And now we've got all new beds, and we've got new dorms, but these guys right now are sleeping in our gymnasium. So it's challenges like that where when we get a card from someone like you that says another week down and closer to your goal. And to learn that somebody out there cared enough to not only spend $35 of your hard-earned money to help us finish that year, but to support us and to say, hey, you don't know me, but I'm here praying for you. And I'm, you know, praying for your success, and I'm here gunning for you, and my family is here for you as well. It was a huge support to me. I know that the guys that are currently in the sponsorship program is a huge support to them. And one of the things that you get is this very limited edition, navy blue, student sponsorship, Pacific Northwest Adult and Teen Challenge folder. Now, you can't get these just anywhere. You have to get them through us because, you see, it has this sticker. Otherwise, it's just a folder. Now, inside the folder, you've got a picture of a student here. This is my friend Michael Walters. He's not here at the moment. He's on one of his passes. But you get to see his pretty face and his nice smile, and you get to put it up on the refrigerator, and every morning when you go to get your milk or your coffee, you can say hello, Michael, and you can look at him and read a little bit about his story, and if you get tired of looking at him, you can just turn it over and there's more words, and that way you don't have to see him anymore. And then you can turn it back over, and he's back again. Yeah. It's pretty neat, huh? So we would encourage you, those of you who, you know, the Lord has put on your heart to be a sponsor, to go ahead and write. Visitation days are on Sundays, so we would absolutely encourage you to come by to see us. Just give us a call beforehand so we can put you on the list. Baked goods are always welcome. In particular, I enjoy chocolate peanut butter brownies. So feel free to drop those off whenever you want. And just put Matt Wilson on the card. And if you want to bake those with protein powder so I don't feel so bad, I would appreciate that. That would be great. All right, so I am going to have my friend Jerry come up, and he's going to tell you a little bit about his story. And then after that, we will line up in the back, and then you guys can turn the song on, and then we'll go from there. All right. Here you go, Jerry.
By the time I was 6 months old, I had been in the hospital twice for starvation. My mom was so busy partying that she would just leave me and my sisters at home. And I was taken from, put in foster care. The foster family that they put me with, they would tie me to my crib and leave me there for days at a time. So, I mean, I had some serious issues when I was a kid. And so I had some serious issues to come up through, and I did. I conquered them through Jesus Christ. I had lived kind of a rough lifestyle. Dad was a drug and alcoholic. I remember being in grade school, coming home, and our front yard would be just packed full of motorcycles. The music would be so loud you couldn't even, I mean, you could hear it four blocks away. So I lived that kind of lifestyle. I went through life at the age of 31. My father committed suicide. I thought my life was over because I thought he was the only one that loved me because he was the one that got me out of the foster care, foster facilities that they had me in. I lost it. I went off the deep end. I didn't want to live anymore. And I tried to kill myself several times. What caused me to come into Teen Challenge was my stepmom came to me and said, I don't want to lose you like I lost your father. And so I came into Teen Challenge. If it wasn't for Teen Challenge, I wouldn't be standing here right now. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be standing here right now. I should be dead by all rights. But the reason I'm here is to tell each and every one of you that God loves you and he has grace for you. It's amazing what he's done in my life. He's taught me so much. And he's filled me with such a joy. I have such a joy in my life now. It's amazing. I can't express it. He is so amazing. I can't express it. If it wasn't for him, I would not be here. That, by all means, I tell you that right now. So, if I could tell you anything, there's something that I would like to say about the sponsorship program. My last birthday, I had no one in my family called me to wish me happy birthday. My sponsor sent me a letter on my birthday, wishing me happy birthday, telling me that I was loved. That meant so much to me. That meant so much to me that somebody out there cared about me enough to say that they loved me. I'm sorry. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. You know, our stories, that one really got to me. Jerry's story is really powerful. And he's done this two or three times now, and every time it just gets to me. through our stories, we get to tell a little bit about how the enemy had a hold on our life. And when we tell that story, we get to take that power back. And that's something that we get to spend this year learning, that through the sacrifice of Jesus, that we've been set free from that bondage and that we don't have to live in that lie anymore. And that the truth of the gospel is really what set us free. And I cannot begin to tell you how grateful I am that I spent a year as a grown man in a place called Teen Challenge, learning to humble myself and to get over my own issues, to be the person that God always planned for me to be. The student sponsorship program has helped Jerry, through that letter on his birthday. I had a sponsor who, through gift cards, made it so that my children would get gifts for Christmas. It was encouragement. It was a letter when I needed it. I realize that, it's $35 a month, but I cannot tell you how much that encouragement and those letters and seeing your faces on the weekend means to us. So, please come back to the table. If the Lord has laid it on your heart to be a sponsor, see myself. Our executive director is also here. His name is Kyle. He's going to step in and wave. I put him on the spot right now. He loves it when I do that. So this is Kyle. He can help you fill out the paperwork as well. It's just a simple brochure. But more importantly, there is a potluck, and I was given very strict instructions that none of you get to go into the potluck until you have come to the outreach table and you have either gotten a sponsorship brochure or one of our connection cards. So you cannot escape us. So if you're hungry, you have to come and give us a high five. So that being said, thank you for your time. I appreciate the opportunity to share our stories with you. And I will pass it on to the pastor here.